you turn with me now to the first letter of Peter in chapter 5. We'll read the first four verses, and then seeking his help to learn from them, from him. So 1 Peter chapter 5, and those few verses 1 to 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. God bless his word, even as we read it. Until now, Peter has spent a lot of time speaking to us, the church, about how we respond to, he calls them back in a few verses back in chapter 4, fiery trials. He talks about suffering in the name of Christ. And now he turns to elders. He has a few other people that he wants to speak to specifically later on as well, and then the church as a whole. But having dealt with suffering, he then turns to elders. Where is this coming from? Is there a connection? Or has he dealt with suffering and now he's got a few other things that he needs to say to the church? Well, maybe look at it like this. The church that is painted in those chapters before this is faced with trouble. There's trouble, problems all around. They're under affliction and suffering for the sake of the Lord Jesus. They're under pressure. And within that church, there are elders, leaders. Take a country at war. Many folk are remembering World War I at the moment. I'm perhaps a little bit more familiar with World War II. And beginning of the war, especially World War II, many folk were asking perhaps in the early days, will we survive? But how the nation gathered strength again when there were strong leaders who stood up, came to the fore. And perhaps there's something of that in mind with Peter here, that where the church is surrounded by suffering and it's potentially being shaken, God has put elders, leaders, people who he provides to strengthen the church. It's another aspect of this this strength and the survival of his people. It makes good sense if you have these elders in the church and the church is struggling. It makes good sense to encourage them, to show them the way, to remind them of what is provided and what's required of them. And so Peter does turn to the elders. At least I think that is a significant part of his reason for it here. He again touches on the sufferings and the glory that is to come. There's something, a fairly consistent framework or light that he holds on to as he goes through this passage. But doesn't it interest you as well that he is speaking specifically to the elders, but he doesn't write them a separate letter? He doesn't write all this other letter and then he puts in another piece of paper, another note, saying with it folded up and saying to the elders and these verses. He includes it in the letter. It's meant to be overheard. So it's not just meant to be heard by the elders, but it's meant to be overheard by the whole church. to understand where the elders come into the picture, that the church knows what to expect of the elders, but also to know what is expected of the elders and where the church might help for that work. Now, this is something that we need to look at too. We also have elders, and although many churches use different names, many churches, if not all churches, have some kind of equivalent. And the elders that we have in this congregation, in the various churches that we are linked with, these elders have the same responsibilities. This is the pattern for our eldership. They also have the same obstacles, and therefore have the same needs for encouragement, and if necessary, direction. But along with the responsibilities and the obstacles, the needs, there is also in these few verses, just a few verses, there's also a provision of a foundation, a reason for all that is given to the elders to do and how to do it. Running through these verses is again the presence of God, of Christ, and that wonderful name in verse 4 of the chief shepherd. That must be kept in mind in all that he's going to say, because it comes out to the place of when he appears, this chief shepherd, or as he calls himself, the good shepherd in the Gospels. To look at these verses, I want to see with you a little this morning how Peter regards these elders, first as servants of the chief shepherd, that he sees something is entrusted in verse 3, entrusted to these elders, and it is the flock of this chief shepherd, that the elders are to be examples to the flock in the same spirit as the chief shepherd has, and then the extravagant reward of the chief shepherd in verse 4. First of all, to see that we're talking about elders, or to the elders among you who are servants of the chief shepherd. The elders among you. Now, we have that in English, the word elder, and it says what it says. It means what it says. It is talking about those who are older, they're more senior, and it's not necessarily in physical age. Sometimes it can be in, and ideally, the ideal is spiritual maturity. But it is those who are senior. And in the original language, that is simply the word presbyter. And that's why we are called the Presbyterian Church. It comes from that we don't have a hierarchy, we just have elders. These are the leaders, pure and simple, within the church, just one office, you might say, who are presbyters. And that is reinforced. There is a strong argument for that single office when you see that Peter, remember who Peter was? He was one of those exclusive band that was around Jesus for 3 years, and then he became one of the apostles because of that. But though he was an apostle, which was one of the primary roles in the church, the very beginning of the church, yet he says, I am a fellow elder. Peter himself, that's all he claims for himself. That's the only position he claims for himself within the church. A fellow elder. I'm the same as you, the rest of you, you elders. And I think you see something of that we use the word parity, that equal position, even with Paul when he was speaking about the elders of Ephesus. There was an equivalence there. The things that he said he was focused on, he was saying, this is what you must concentrate on. The same things back in Acts 20. There's that equality even of Peter, no elevation above the elders within the churches. This fellow, this word fellow, would appear to actually also belong to the witness of the sufferings of Christ. We might take those words, witness of the sufferings of Christ, and say, well, Peter saw them himself with his eyes, but that's not the same word. He's not saying an eyewitness. He's speaking more about bearing witness, giving testimony to these things. And he shares that, he says, with the elders as well. I who am a fellow elder. And I don't know about the other elders in this congregation, but that's really quite something, isn't it, to be, for Peter to say, I'm working the same thing with you. Peter. It's amazing. It's a real honor to share that task with him. What is that task? He goes on a little further down. In verse 2, he tells us, he comes back to what he's exhorting. See, in verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort. And then, who am I who's doing this? I'm exhorting. What? Verse 2, shepherd. Do this. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Be a shepherd. He calls it the flock of God. He uses the same picture that has been used by the Lord Jesus himself, and he used it because it was something consistent right through so much of the Old Testament. Be shepherds, serving. And it is really quite obvious in a way when you think about what a shepherd does, and we're not perhaps so familiar with it, but I think we have some idea. Shepherd looks after the sheep. As you say that, you're saying that he serves the sheep. That's his purpose in life, is to care for them. And that's what is meant by shepherding, and he reinforces it. He says it again in different words, serving. But he brings it together in an amazing way, serving as overseers. He turns things on their head almost. It's a twist that is perhaps unexpected for many people. If you were an overseer, what would you do? You would watch other people working. You would be standing there, and if they do it wrong, you say, do this or do that. That's how people think of an overseer. But he says, serve as the overseer. That's the characteristic of a shepherd. But he is looking out, he's looking over the flock, but in order to care for them, to make sure that they're safe, to make sure that they're provided for. And that's what the image of a shepherd is about. But it is also to realize it is the flock of God. Elders are not the top level of shepherds, they're under shepherds, under the one to whom the flock belongs. The serving is for God's people. And to remember that they belong to God. For me to remember you belong to God. And to serve you accordingly. But for you to remember too, that the elders are such servants, and not because they choose on their own account, but because God has put them there. That shepherd, that under shepherd out there with the flock, is there because the one who owns the flock says, I want you there. I need you there. It's God's appointment. And the shepherds are seen by the Lord himself. The shepherds serve for his sake, first of all. It is God's flock. That's the characteristic. It is important that the shepherd is an overseer, a bishop. That's a simple picking up of the Greek word. That's what a bishop means, is overseer. But see how the overseer is to serve. I do find it difficult when I hear about the archbishops being enthroned. It doesn't seem quite right somehow. A bit of a turning around of this thing. But that is what a shepherd does. He's overseeing in this way entirely for the good of the sheep, to care for them. Or if we don't understand sheep, I now and again in town here, and some of you might have seen it yourselves and even done it, that you see the children in a class going out for a walk around town, and you've got teacher and staff, and they're like shepherds, making sure that the children are cared for. And if other people are watching, teachers are not really caring about themselves, what they look like. They're just concerned that the children are safe and that the children are learning and developing in that outing, much like sheep go out into the field. Are they developing and are they safe? And it's for these reasons that because the elder is a servant, that he is also encouraged to make sure he is not doing it by constraint, compulsion, because he's forced into it in any way. Now perhaps we need to pause a moment here, because there are different senses to constraint. There's a kind of constraint where the Lord himself calls and you have to accept that call. That is a compulsion. But it's a different kind of compulsion that he's talking about here. He's talking about a sense of being told to do it and nothing more. There is a place for the church. There is human involvement. It's the church recognizes those who are appropriate to be elders, and that has a place. But it's not under mere constraint. It's not simply out of a sense of duty that an elder is to do this. It's to be willing to serve. It's to have that willing spirit and also an eager spirit in at the end of verse 2 as well. It's not what you get out of it. Remember, Paul talked about that to the Ephesian elders. He said, I didn't come for silver or gold. I deliberately avoided those things to make a point, to make an example that you could see. And that's not what it's about. There were certainly many around at the time who were going out for what it might bring into them, some money and prestige perhaps, and it's still done today in many places. This was some of the traveling rabbis and so on could easily get big returns that they could put aside for themselves. That's not what it's for. Not for dishonest gain, but simply because it is to serve the Lord and to serve his people. If you were to go under mere constraint, because that's what you felt you had to do, someone was writing about this and saying that they were talking to a man who was a clergyman in England here, and he was asked why he was doing it. He wasn't very enthusiastic. Why was he doing it? Well, my parents told me I had to do it. That's the constraint that he's talking about here. But for no other reason except that the Lord constrains. The Lord calls, and I must be willing to do his will. Delight to do his will. Be eager to do his will. Only then are we going to be able to truly care for the flock. And that is the elder's business. It's not about me, it's not about the elder, it's about the flock, the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd. He entrusts the flock to us. That's the second thing. We talked about the elders. We need to realize too the key word that Peter uses in verse 3. Not being lords over those entrusted to you. A key reminder that the people in the churches do not belong to the elders to be ordered around, to be lording over them, but that they are entrusted. This is the same kind of idea that Paul talks about in other places, about the gospel being entrusted to him. It's not just for himself, but it's something that he's been given to steward and to spread out. And so the people of God, the flock, are entrusted to the elders to for them to serve in lieu of the chief shepherd in his place, under his direction, because he has commended them into the care of the elders. And when it's difficult being an elder, that's one of the most difficult things, is a sense of not fulfilling this trust in a variety of ways, perhaps. He's given this trust, this work to me, to your elders, to the elders in the churches, and with a sincere heart, a longing to be able to fulfill that trust. The good of your souls. Your souls. I look at each one of you, and in that sense, there's quite enough of you here. Each one of you, to hear what Jesus says, your soul is worth more than anything and everything in this world. Just one of you. And then I look at all of you. Each of your souls compounds it. You're worth so much more. And he's entrusted your souls to us, your elders. It's an immense work. Glorious work. It's a great trust, great honor, a great responsibility. That's why the church also needs to overhear what Peter says to the elders. We have not taken you to ourselves. He's put you with the elders, your elders, as your leaders. Again, I mentioned it earlier when we read in Numbers. There's a similarity there with Aaron, the priests, and the Levites. It's the great trust that was committed to them to care for the worship of God's people. And the time will come when your elders will have to give account for that trust that has been commended to us. We'll have to give account for you. To the chief shepherd, he is coming. We want to show him mature saints. We will have to testify. Are we also innocent of men's blood? We have to testify of our hearts to the work that he's given us to do. But you know that we're mere men. You know that we're liable to great weakness, failure, in every human respect. If Peter, an apostle, says he's a fellow elder, Paul was a fellow elder, and he says, pray for us. Overhear this trust that is given to your elders and pray for them. What did Paul say to the Ephesian elders? Take heed to yourselves, Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Take heed to yourselves. We are weak. We're liable to fail. Pray that the great shepherd will keep our hearts for your sakes, as well as his. It will know strength in spirit, but also in body, to take on this trust and to continue in it. The way that this works out, then, is also explained in verse 3. And this is my third emphasis, is to be examples. This ties in with, it is in contrast to being lords over you. It is also ties in with that serving in verse 2. Don't be lords over it, but be examples to. The Lord, in this case, is the master. He's the one who has the authority to sit where he is at the top place and to order people around to do what he wants them to do. Remember how Jesus spoke to the religious leaders of his day. Peter must have heard it. where he says you impose burdens of behavior, heavy burdens on the ordinary folk, and you do nothing, you don't even turn a finger to lift them, to help them. That's being a lord over the people that you're given to care for. Instead, be examples to the flock. Do live the way of life that sound doctrine leads to. Be examples. Live it out. Let it be seen. And that can be a difficult thing to say for men to say too. Men who are well aware of our own spiritual weakness. But Paul said it, 1 Corinthians 11, he said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. It's a remarkable statement. It is important, obviously, for everyone to hear this word, to follow the apostle, to follow the elders, to follow their example. But at the same time, to scripturally, based on scripture, make an assessment. Is that example imitating Christ? Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ, Paul said. So that's an appropriate qualification. And again, we read in Acts 20, and Paul was able to say, I've shown you, I've lived this out in front of you. He was the example. In the next few verses after this passage, there are other groups, and in fact everyone in the church, who are also called to humble themselves, ourselves. That's the servant attitude of the elder. The elder strives to be bond servants for Jesus' sake, your bond servants. That's the example that all of us must follow, to submit to one another. But it's to be set by the elders, the pattern to be set by the elders. So in whatever you see the elders going about, if they're doing something, you see how they're doing it, doesn't mean they're the ones who must go on doing it. It's an example, something that you can pick up. Something as a youngster, you might see your parents do. And they're not just washing the dishes to make your dishes clean, they're also washing them while you're there so that you can see how to do them and do them again, do them yourself. Especially when you grow older and leave home. I remember doing something when I was out in South Africa, a piece of manual work. And I wrote to my father one day and I said, I'm so glad you taught me how to do this. He wrote back and he said, I didn't realize I'd taught you that. But he'd shown me by example. I'd watched and picked it up. The things that you see your elders do, watch, pick them up. Pick them up and take them. See what you can do. And the way of life, the character of life especially, this character of service, the very character of the Lord Jesus himself. And most of all, the way that the elder's heart comes out, the spirit of humility, that spirit of service. The way things are done, as much as what is done. As Christ has set the pattern for us. In that wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 2, how he humbled himself to death. If he has done that, elders must do it, all of us to do it. And then there is one more thing, just very quickly. The conclusion to this exhortation is a promise. In verse 4, if this is what you do, you go about all this, then when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. We've been given a task to do, the elders. It's a duty, simply because it's been given us by God and by the chief shepherd. That's enough. It should be enough in its own way. But the work can be hard. Paul wrote about all the things that he suffered, and he said, add to all of those things every day. I also have the deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Your elders need your prayers to fulfill their responsibilities. But it's not just for duty's sake. It's not just under some external compulsion. It is because of the love of the Lord. It is because of what he has done for us. It is to be willing to do his will. But that's not all that the Lord provides. Not the only encouragement. Do it because I call you to. It's a great encouragement in itself. But if it's done well, if it's done in the right spirit, then when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a great reward. Wonderful promise. Paul said to Timothy, if a man desires the position of a bishop, an overseer, he desires a good work. And that's rated, if you like, by the reward that's to come. The crown of glory. The crown made of glory, as we might say, a crown of gold. The crown of glory. It does not fade away. What is that? It can only be God-given glory, can't it? Not the glory of man. That fades away. This one doesn't. And God gives it out of his own glory. An extravagant reward to a faithful under-shepherd, a faithful elder, for the great trust that is faithfully served. So friends, this passage, as Peter continues to equip and to strengthen the church, to ensure that the church doesn't fall away, doesn't wander away, even as Paul spoke to the Ephesians. Peter has this word, two elders. Now, something very, I think, very common to human nature is listening in on conversations. A lot of people like to do it. You probably do somewhere along the way. You overhear. Oh, I overheard this. Well, this is one you're invited, encouraged, urged to overhear, where God speaks to his servants, the elders, the shepherds in his flock. Why? Why are you supposed to hear it? Why are we all supposed to hear it? It's because the work is a great work. The work is for the good of the church altogether. The elders need to be encouraged to strengthen and to guide the church. This is a role that's not for everyone, but those who have it, given it, are accountable for a great thing. There's a great trust. Pray for them. Encourage them, pray for them, and follow them. They're seeking to serve as your examples, to bring you to the Lord, to keep you with the Lord, to serve him, to walk in his ways, to be matured, to be fruitful in your lives. And especially perhaps in the context of Peter's letter, to walk humbly with your God, which is where he goes next, by the example that is set by your elders. For this morning I'll close there, and may God himself speak with each of us by his word today. Let us pray together.